Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on the third of the wide lines where a new Mishnah appears. This Mishnah, in effect, is a form of a continuation of the previous Mishnah where we saw a list of individuals whose mention was for praiseworthy purposes. In other words, we recount them in a positive sense. In stark contrast to that, you will see this Mishnah opens up the Elu Lignai, and these, and you can see we have a double underlining, highlighting individuals who are not, whose memory does not bode any positive thoughts. Rather, we remember them in a negative light. The Nose, the topic heading and structural note that accompanies this reads on the side, the double underline you can see is featured, Shemos Shiluskuru Lignai, people whose names are mentioned in a negative sense, Behekshir, in connection with Lechem Haponim, the showbreads that stood in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ktores, the incense offering, Shir, the ability to sing, and Maisa Ksav, a matter concerning writing. Of course, as we go into the Mishnah and the Gemara, we'll see these are elaborated. There is another marking that you'll see, the bow tie shape. This is Pirut Oisam Shemos Bebrisus Ad Omid Beis. We'll be highlighting in detail the names mentioned in the Mishnah. So if you see the four double underlined names in the Mishnah, they will be highlighted with bow ties in the sources that elaborate on them. So Beis Garmo is mentioned in the Mishnah, and then the first bow tie, Beis Garmo, in the Tanaic source. And you can see Beis Avtinas, the second one, and on Amid Beis, third line from the Tav, Hugris Ben Levi, and then a few lines later, Ben Kamtzor. So we now turn to the Mishnah. The Elu Lignai, the following we mention in a negative context. Shel Beis Garmu, that particular family known as Beis Garmu, Lo Rotsu Lelamit Al Maisa Lechem Aponim. They didn't want to share their secrets of regarding the production of the Lechem Aponim, the showbreads that stood in the Heichal from week to week in the Beis HaMikdash. Shel Beis Avtinas, Lo Rotsu Lelamit Al Maisa Ktores. They were the ones, and we've learned about them earlier in this Masichta, they were the ones that were in charge of preparing the incense offering. They didn't want to teach their secret regarding that. Hugrus ben Levi, Hoya Yodea Perek Bashir, Velo Rotsu Lelamed. He was knowledgeable in an aspect of producing sound in the context of singing or vocalization, and he didn't want to teach that. Ben Kamtzor lo rotsu lamed al maise haksav. Ben Kamtzor had a special skill in the realm of writing, and he didn't want to share that. Al harishonim nemar zecher tzadik levracha. Regarding those mentioned in the earlier Mishnah, we recount them in a blessing fashion, in a positive light. Al elu nemar v'shem rishon yirkov. And regarding these, the same posuk in Mishle Perek Yud, posuk Zion, mentions the name of the wicked shall rot. The first section of Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Beis Garmoi and Lechem Aponim, the Beis Garmo family and their relevance to the production of the showbreads. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source. You can see the balance of this page. In fact, when you look over the whole Daf Gemara, most of it is actually Tanaic sources. Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Garmu hoya bekiyin b'maisa lechem aponim v'lo rotsu lamei. The Beis Garmu family were bekiyin, expert in the making of the lechem aponim, but they didn't want to share it. They didn't want to teach it. Shochu chachomim v'viu umanim Alexandru shel Mitzrayim. The chachomim, they were upset, let us say, with the monopoly that this Beis Garmo had regarding the Lechem Aponim, so they sent for umanin, craftsmen or artisans from Alexandria. These people knew how to bake in the required fashion. They didn't know, however, how to remove the showbreads from the oven. Now, a point should be made that the lechem aponim were not a standard rectangular loaf of bread, but rather, and the Gemara Menachos tells us there were two opinions how these breads looked. They either looked like what was called a teva prutza or a sfina roikedis. Either way, they were baked loaves that had sides to them, and being that they had this very unique shape, it was very difficult to remove them from the oven walls in which they were baked. So that these artisans from Mitzrayim, they knew how to prepare the proper recipe, if you will, but they didn't know how to remove it from the oven without them breaking. And the source goes on to describe how they were baked. Shalolu masikin mibachutz v'oifin mibachutz. V'halolu masikin mibifnim v'oifin mibifnim. The word masikin has to do with the way the fueling of the oven, so that one group would fuel the oven from the outside, and the baking would take place on the outside of the oven, and the others would fuel from within, and the baking was from within. Halolu piton misapeshes, v'halolu ein piton misapeshes. The Alexandrian artisans' bread, misapeshes, would go moldy, and the Beis Garmu bread would not go moldy. Kishishamu chachomim badovar, when the chachomim heard about this, omru kol ma shebor hakadosh baruch hu lechvodo baro, everything that the Almighty made, he made it for with the intention of increasing his honor. Shneamar kol hanikra b'shmi ulechvodi borosiv, anything that's my name is proclaimed upon, it is to increase my honor. And as a result of this, they realized that in order to achieve maximum honor of the Almighty, so you've got to have the highest quality breads. The chazru beis garmu limakomon, and they were restored to their original position. As we saw earlier, the Chachamim were upset with this Beis Garmo, and they seem to have retired them in favor of the Alexandrian artisans, but it didn't work. So realizing that the honor of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is of greater importance, they were restored. Shochalem Chachamim v'lobo. Initially, the Chachamim sought them out, and they refused to come. Well, the Chachamim doubled their wages, and that did it. And they responded and returned. In the past, they would take 12 mona, vayom esrim varba, and now, upon their return, doubled fee, 24 mona. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'chol yom esrim varba, vayom arboim mishmona. Rabbi Yehuda has a double amount. It used to be 24 mona, and now 48. Omru lahem chachomim. The chachomim turned to them and said, "Mamro isem sholol ameid. What was your calculation? What were you figuring? What was your consideration in maintaining secrecy and not teaching over the method?" Omru lahem. So the Beis Garmo responded, "Yoidin hayu shel Beis Abba. Our forefathers, our forebearers, had a tradition. Shabayis el sidli chorev." That this temple, the Beis Hamikdash, we're talking about the second Beis Hamikdash, its destiny will be one of destruction. And Shema, and if we reveal the secret, Shema Yumud Odom Shena Muhugan, the fear was that someone who's improper, was unfit, Eino Muhugan, not proper individual, will have learned the secret. V'yelech v'yavoid avudis k'chovim b'kachin, will then serve idols with these breads, offer our breads to idols. And this is our consideration for keeping the secrecy. Now, it should be pointed out, that is their excuse, so to speak. The Chachomim, though, if you look in the Meforshim, in the Marsha, the Chachomim didn't believe them. They didn't accept that story. And they were still suspect of the Beis Garmo. And they figured the Beis Garmo simply wanted the money, the increase in wages, the high pay, and maybe the honor associated with that. We continue. There's a comma here. The comma is very important because it shows that the continuation more is not a reflection on that which we just said in the text, but rather the aldover ze maskirin oison l'shvach me oilom lo nimtzeis pas nikiyo biad b'neim. Notice the reading here has a connector. We said l'shvach and me olam lo. That regarding, it says dover ze, the aldover ze regarding this. And now the pronoun is a reference to that which follows. Regarding the following, we do recount them in a positive sense. This Beis Garmo, even though they upset the Chachomim in their resistance and their secrecy regarding the method of preparing lechem upon him, but they did have a positive feature about them. And what is that? May oilam lo ninseis pas nikiyo biad b'neim. Amongst their own family members, they didn't have pasni, literally, is clean bread. Clean bread would mean a very fine quality baked goods were never found in their family possession. Shelo yomushu, so that it should not be said, mimaisa lechem aponim ze nizoinim. Otherwise, suspicion would be raised, and people would claim that, oh, the baked goods that they have in their home are from the lechem aponim, from the batter that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. So they avoided suspicion. L'kayim ha-shenemar, and their avoidance of suspicion was a fulfillment of the posuk that says v'yisa nikiyim me'ashem u'mi'Yisrael, that a person should be clean, sterling reputation in the eyes of the Almighty and in the eyes of the general public as well. So they avoided suspicion by making sure that within their own family the quality of baked goods, of breads, was not of the highest quality. So it didn't create any doubt that maybe they were taking from the lechem aponim for their own personal use. Naturally, the lechem aponim was from the Beis HaMikdash, from sanctified funds, strictly forbidden for anything of a personal nature. We continue. Shobeis avtinas lo rotsu lelamed al maisak toris. The Mishnah had mentioned that the Beis avtinas family did not want to teach their secrets regarding the incense. Tonu Rabbonan, and here we have a very long Tanaic source. You can see it continues to the third line from the top of Omid Beis. Beis avtinas hoy bekiyin, bekiyin means expert, b'maisak toris, v'lo rotsu lelamed, and they didn't want to teach their secret. Sholchu chachomim v'viu umnin v'azan shem Mitzrayim, and the same as we saw before with the lechem aponim, the chachomim dismissed the Beis avtinas in favor of some artisans from Alexandria. V'hoyu yoydim lefatim kemoisam v'lo hoyu yoydim la'alois oshon kemoisam. The Alexandrian experts knew how to lefatim. Lefatim is the preparation of the spices. That's to crush the spices and mix them in the proper fashion. That they knew how to do. However, to ensure that the smoke rising from the burning incense would rise in a straight pillar-like form, that they didn't know how to do. Shel halolu mitamer v'oyle kemakel, the Beis Avtinas ktores would mitamer v'oyle, would rise, the smoke would rise kemakel like a stick in a vertical solid type fashion. Shel halolu mafsin lekan lekan, the Alexandrian artisans' smoke would scatter in all directions. Kshishamu chachomim b'davar, when the chachomim got the wind of this, Omru, they came to the conclusion, like we saw before, Kol ma shebara Kodesh Baruch Hu lechvodo baro, everything that Kodesh Baruch created was with his honor in mind. Shenemar, Kol pa'al Hashem l'maneu, all the workings of Hashem are for his sake. The Chozru, Beis Avtinas l'mkoman, and realizing this, they had to cast aside any other considerations and reinstate the Beis Avtinas, because they produce the most respectable Ketores. By the way, just a technical point, you'll notice that when the Chachomim reacted that everything the Kodesh Baruch Hu made was for the honor of the Almighty, the quote here is a posuk from Mishlei Perek Tezayin, which reads Kol Pal Hashem Lemaneu, and in the previous source with the Lechem Aponim, a different pasuk was quoted, Kol HaNikra B'Shmi L'Chvodi Borosiv. As far as the difference between these psukim, there is a note on the side, and if you look into the Meforshim on the Gemara, the commentaries, you'll see that there is a reason for this difference. But for our purposes, the same basic reaction is that the Chumim realized that the main consideration is the honor of the Almighty, and therefore the Chazru Beis Avtinas Limkoman, and they were reinstated. However, not immediately. Shochlem Chacham Lobo, the Chumim sought them out, and they didn't come back. Koflem Schoren Ubo. Their fee was doubled, and that brought them back. The Chol Yom Hayonot Lim Shnei Moser Mona Vayom Esrim Varba. Every day they took 12 Mona, and now 24. And Rebbe Yehuda, you'll see, doubles those numbers. Rebbe Yehuda Omer B'Chol Yom Esrim Varba Vayom Arboim Ushmona. Every day 24, and they used to take 24, and now 48. Omru Lohem Chachomim. And as we saw before with the Lechem Aponim, the Chachomim addressed them, said, Marisim Shalulamid, what is it that you see to keep your secret? And the same answer as given before, Omru Yoidim Hoyu Shobeis Abo She Bayeze Osid Lichorev, that this temple will be destroyed. Omru Shemo Yomud Odom Shena Mehugon, Vielich Viabu Ravis Chachomim Bekach, and someone who's unfit will learn our secret and then use it to serve idols. And again, as we said before, they are recounted in a positive sense regarding one matter, but not their consideration of keeping the secret. And we said before, because the Chachamim were so suspect of their real intentions. However, in terms of obvious behavior, there was something positive, and that is, well, let's read the line again. The girls from their house that got married, the kalos, the brides that came forth from the Beis Avtinas family, they never left their homes perfumed. A kala is a bride. The custom was that brides would be perfumed, and their brides were never. And when men from their family would marry women from outside, would come into their family, they would make a condition and say, my dear lady, you're marrying into our family, but you should know that one of the conditions is, you're not to wear perfumes. Shelo Yomru, that it shouldn't be said by the public, Mimaisa Haktores Mizbasmin, that they are perfuming themselves from the Ketores, from the fragrant incense of the Beis Hamikdash. L'kayim Hashenemar, this is a fulfillment of that which we saw before as well, V'yisim Nikim Hashem Yisrael, that one should maintain cleanliness, a sterling reputation in the eyes of the Almighty and the rest of Israel. Tanya, Omar, Rabbi Shmuel. Pamachas hoyisi malech b'derech. Rabbi Shmuel says, I was once walking on the road, umotsosi echod mibnei b'nehem, and I met up with one of their descendants. Omar tilo, avosecho bikshu lahabos kvodon. Your forefathers wanted to increase their own honor, v'rotsu lamayi kvod hamokom. And they wanted to reduce the honor of the Almighty. In other words, the consideration of the Beis Avtinas was one self-interest, maybe egotism, other types of negative motivations, and along with that, the honor of Shamayim would be reduced. Achshav kvod mokom bimkoi moi, the honor of the Almighty is well intact. Umiyet kvodam, but your family's honor upon the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is reduced. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Soch li Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga. this gentleman, Rabbi Shmuel Baluga, told me, says Rabbi Kiva, Pamachas yotzosi ani ve'echod mibnei b'em l'sodeh l'laket asovim. I once went out, I, says Rabbi Shmuel Ben Luga tells, I and one of their, the base of Tinas, descendants, went out to gather grasses from the fields. V'ro'isi shebocha v'sochak, and I saw that descendant from base of Tinas, he cried and laughed. Omarti lo mitnei ma bochisa, well, what motivated you to cry? Omar li kvod avosai nizkarti, I was just reminded by the honor of my forebears that is no longer. Umitnei ma sochakto, and why did you laugh? Omar li, so he told me, she'osel v'shboch l'achzira lanu, that in the future, at some time in the future, our honor will be restored. Umitnei ma niskarta, and what caused you to remember all of this? Omar li mala oshan kenegdi. Now mala oshan is the name of a grass. Now the translation, the literal translation, is the riser of smoke. In other words, this grass, when put into the Ketores, would cause the pillar of smoke to rise in the solid type fashion, in the concentrated pillar like fashion. Hereuli, so Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga turns to this descendant from the base of Tinas and says, show it to me. There are many grasses here. Identify which one is the Mala Oshan. Omar li, so he told me, Shvua yibiyodenu shein marin oisei l'chol odom. We are under oath that we shall never show it to anybody. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, pam achas motzosi zokin echod, Umegila Sammonim Biodo. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri tells a story that once I met an elderly man and he had a scroll with spice information in it, spice or fragrance incense information in it. Omarti lo me'ayinato, I asked the gentleman, from where are you? What's your family background? Omar li, be base aftinas, and I am from the base aftinas family. Umar biotchan, what do you have there? Omar li, Megillah Samonim, I have a scroll concerning information concerning Samonim, the incense. Hereu li, so Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri says, show it to me. Omar li, so the Zokein Echod says back to me, calls man shebeis abo hoyu kayomin, lo hoyu moistrin oisoi lechol odom. As long as my father's family was around, this would not be given into anyone's hands. V'achshav harehu l'cha v'zoyer bo. Now, the implication is that there is no one left from that family. So that's, again, just simply, that's implied. And now you take it and be careful with it. V'shabosi v'sachti divorai lifnei Rebbe Akiva. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, when I went and I told this story to Rebbe Akiva, Omar li, Me'ata osir l'saper b'gnusim shel elu. From this point onwards, it is no longer one is no longer allowed to speak negatively about them. In other words, if up till now the basis of the gnai was their resistance to sharing the method of preparing the Ketores with others, so now they are sharing it with others. So we cannot speak ill of them. Mikan Omar ben Azai. Based on this, Ben Azai says, and Rashi points out that Mikan Ben Azai Mimaisa Beis Gomu, Rashi says, or Beis Avtinas, Shebikshu Chachomim L'Tchoys Mimkomim V'lo Yochlu. From that which we saw in these last two stories, that the Chachomim wanted to dismiss these families and were unsuccessful, that we learn the following: B'Shimcha Yikra'ucha U'V'Mekoimcha Yoshivucha U'Mishelcha Itnu L'cha Ein Odom Noigea B'Muchan L'Chavero. Now, we will go over this. Here at the bottom of Omen Aleph, the Gemara Ben Azai said, "B'shimcha yikra'ucha." We look at Rashi. "B'shimcha yikra'ucha lo yidag odom lomar ploni yikapech parnasosi." A person should not walk around with the feeling that so and so is going to encroach on my income, that someone is going to compete with me and take over my business. Ki al korchach b'shem yikrucha lavo v'lashuv b'mkomcha. Because al korchach, meaning against your will. In other words, there's divine intervention that the Almighty will call you and restore you to where you are supposed to be. When it comes to matters of income, contrary to popular belief, popular emotion, matters of income are divinely ordained. And when it's your time to receive your income from your profession or your job or your craft, you will be there. And if it's not your time, so you won't be there. And that's what Benazai is saying. You will be called, b'shimcha yikruchu v'mekoimcha yoshivchan, in your place you will be sat. The Gemara at the top of Amud Beis continues, u'mishelcha yitnu l'cha. Rashi says at the top, klomar lo mishelahem yitnu l'cha matona ela mezomos haktsuvim l'cha min hashamayim. When you make money, you are not given money from that which you're not given money as a gift from others, but it's from money or from income that is established from heaven. The Gemara in Maseches Beitza Daf Tezayin elaborates on that topic, how a person's mezonos, a person's income, is established May Rosh Hashanah Ad Rosh Hashanah based on one's behavior and mitzvah performance and good deeds and all other considerations. A person receives his allotment on Rosh Hashanah for the balance for the rest of that particular year based on whatever he was doing up till that point. That's umishelcha yitnu l'cha. What you are given is what was earmarked or destined for you. And ein adam nogea b'muchan l'chaver, the Gemara says at the top line that when you get money, it's not as if you're taking from that which was set aside or prepared for someone else. The ein malchus nogas b'chaverta, when the time for a particular leader arrives, and the previous empire or monarchy is to fall, that will happen. So there's a specific time for one to be dismissed and another to take over. And there is no overlapping. Everything is calculated, kimelo nima, like a hair's breadth. So that when a person's time to come comes, he will be dismissed. And Rashi quotes a pasuk from Sefer Daniel that shows that. If the time is at night, so they will fall at night. And if the time is by day, they will be removed by day. The Gemara continues, Hugrus ben Levi. This had to do with song, with vocalizing, with making sounds, musical sounds. Tanya, Keshu noisein koiloi b'ni'ima, when he would produce a pleasant sound, machnas gudloi l'soch piv, he would insert his thumb into his mouth, u'meniach etzbo bein hanimin, and he would place another finger between the what seems to be the crease underneath one's nose. And ad shehoyu echov akoyanim nizkorim bevas roish lachorehem. And Rashi is very terse over here. He says that at that point, so the fellow kohanim, upon hearing this voice, would be shaken up. Rashi used the word nirtoin. It would shake them, and they would cast their heads backwards because of this sound. The Marsha gives an explanation. It seems that upon hearing this, it would cause all the others there to also rise in sound, in voice, making producing quite a large, say, sound. What is interesting here is that there's a reference to Kohanim. Those that were really in charge of song in the Beis HaMikdash were the Levim. But that's something that would be needs to be looked into. That's a further point of research. Tonu Rabbanan, we continue. Ben Kamtzor, this is the gentleman who had some writing skills, and you'll see very shortly what that was. Ben Kamtzor, lo rotza lelamed al maisa ksav. He didn't want to teach his secret or train others in his writing method or writing skills. Omru alav, they said about Ben Kamtzor, sheinotel arba kumasin bein esbosav. He would take four quills, you can say four pens, and put them between his fingers at one time. Ve'im hoiso tevo shel arba oisios hoya kisvo bevas achas. If there was a word that had four letters, he would be able to produce four letters, four different letters at one time. Omru lo ma roisa shalolame. They asked him, well, why don't you want to train others to teach this skill to others? Kulon motsu tshuva ledivram. We saw up till now the Beis Aftinas, the Beis Garmo, they had an answer. They gave an answer. Whether their answer was believable or not, that's another story. But they gave an answer that they were concerned that their skills would be adopted by those that are unfit and they would serve idols with it. Ben Kamser lo motsu tshuva ledvarov. Ben Kamser had no response. As far as writing abilities and their subsequent use in the service of idolatry, that there was no connection. There was no service of idolatry that was accomplished through writing skills. So that he's left in maybe in the worst light, in the sense that he didn't even try to give an excuse. Al HaRishonim, now again, here the reading is tricky. The Al HaRishonim is a reference back to those mentioned back on Daf Lamed Zayin, where we mentioned the Ben Kotin and Hilni HaMalka and Munbaz. They did positive things. Regarding them, the Nemar Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, that the recollection of the Tzadik, of the pious one, the righteous one, is of a blessing. Now Ben Kamser V'Chaverov, regarding Ben Kamser and his fellow individuals that we just spoke about, Nemar v'shem rishoyim yirkav, the name of the wicked shall rot. My v'shem rishoyim yirkav, what does that mean, that the name will rot? And as we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a house marking, and you'll see quite a few of these if you scan down the page on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We explain Sidra shel Meimra shereb Elozar, a series of comments, Sherubam, the majority of them, Be'inyan Tzadik V'Rosha, majority deal with the issue of the righteous versus the wicked. So, what is the meaning of Shem Rishonim Yirkav? Omar of Elazar, we're back in the Gemara, three lines before they get wide. Rakvivus Tale B'Shmoison, Rat will enter their names. Delo maskinon bishmayu. This is the point. How does a name rat? It means that a person who is wicked, so his name will not be bestowed onto others. In other words, people will not name their children using the name of those that were wicked. Mosiv Ravina. Ravina raises a question from a source, and we're going to recount the name of a famous wicked individual, the individual of Tanakh fame was Doeg HaAdomi. Doeg was the gentleman's name. He was a counselor in the court of King Saul of Shaul HaMelech, and he was a negative individual, without elaborating on that right now. Maisa, here we have a source, Maisa Bedoeg ben Yosef. There was a person who lived many years later, and his name was Doeg. By the way, there's a tangential point, a very interesting point, that is mentioned in the Tosfos Rishonim. And if you're telling me that you don't call your children by the name of the wicked, we have a very famous Tanaic personality. His name was Rabbi Yishmael. And Yishmael in the Torah is not regarded as a positive individual, to put things mildly. There is a report in the Chazal that he did tshuva at the end of his life, but the basic impression that you get from the Torah is that he was a Rasha. And the question, and that idea, by the way, that based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Tosfos Yishonim points out, where the Gemara says, "Ein od Avram matzilis Yishmael," that Avram and his merits will not save Yishmael, indicates that there is an opinion that Yishmael did not do penitence and that he died a wicked individual. If you assume that, then how is it that we see Rabbi Yishmael of Tanaic fame carrying such a name. So the Tosfos Yeshanim explains that the name Yishmael was a name given by the Almighty. In the Chumash story, a Malach appears to Hagar, indicating that his name shall be Yishmael. So since it's a divinely granted name, the rule here does not apply. So the name Yishmael is a name of a positive nature, being that its origins are divine. We turn back to the Gemara with the incident here. Maisa b'doig ben Yosef shenichoi oviv ben katan le'imoi. Apparently, the father died when he was young, leaving a child to his mother. B'chol yoyim oisa imoi moidedosoi b'tfochim. Every day she would measure her boy's height increase, b'tfochim, and hand breaths, but it means she would measure his height and calculate the height, how much weight he increased by virtue of his increased height. So that the Noisenis Mishkoloi Zahav Lebeis HaMikdash, and on an ongoing basis, every amount of increased weight, that amount she gave in gold. In other words, we have a common saying, he's worth his weight in gold. Well, the origin of that expression is from right over here, that his weight was given in terms of that weight in gold given by his mother to the Beis HaMikdash. Ukshagovar Oyev Tavchosoi, when the destruction of the temple came about and the enemies overpowered them, she, because it was famine, she killed her son Tavchos, she slaughtered him, Vyachloso, and ate him. Vyaleo Kainan Yirmion, regarding this incident, Yirmio becries in the book of Echa, Megillas Echo, authored by Yirmio. The pasuk says, "In Teichlana Noshim Piryom Oyulei Tipuchim." You see the word Tipuchim, or Tefach, and a reference made to women eating their offspring. And Yirmio moans and mourns that in his book of Echa, commemorating the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh Vemeres, and the continuation of the Pasuk, which was divinely inspired, says, you know, you are bemoaning that, but it came as a result of evil that preceded. In Yehoreg B'Mikdash Hashem Kohen V'Novi. That is because they, in earlier years, they had killed an individual who was both a Kohen and a Novi, a very pious individual. Rashi tells you that's a reference to Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who was a Kohen and also a prophet. What we see from this story, though, is that here you have Doeg, ben Yosef was called by the name Doeg, even though many years before there was a wicked man by the name of Doeg HaAdomi. The Gemara says, well, look at the entire story here. Chazimai Solikbei, look what happened to him. In other words, we told you before, don't call your kids by the name of the wicked. And if you do, so to speak, look what happens. So this story, if anything, only substantiates the teaching of Rebbe Elazar, don't call kids. Where he said Rakvivus Oyla Bishmosam, that Rat is the destiny of their names, and the Gemara added the Lo Maskino Bishmael. And that, by the way, we didn't read this initially when we read the Gemara, but that, according to the side, is there's a Girsa Maihi Omer Ravina, and in other words, that is explained by Ravina, that don't call your children by those names. Omar Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar continues with another comment. Tzadik me'atzmo, that's point one, or aleph, and point beis, v'rosha me'chaveroi. This is very, very terse. The Gemara itself is will elaborate on it a bit, but we will look initially at Rashi. Tzadik me'atzmoi al yedei ma'isov nizkar l'toiva. The righteous through his own actions is recounted for the good. V'rosha mechaveroi, Rashi says, Rosha af al yedei chavero nizkar l'ro. Now Rashi's explanation would seem to mean that if someone is himself a Rosha, he will be recounted for bad even through actions done by others, so that taking the risk of a homemade explanation, if you have, let's say, a particular mobster who is known for his wicked behavior, when he is mentioned, he'll be mentioned along with the actions of others. In other words, the actions of other mobsters will be associated or attributed to him, so that someone who is wicked is not only his wicked deeds are associated with his name, but even the wicked deeds of other Rishoyim are attached to his name. Now the Marsha gives another explanation that Rosha Mechavero means that those people who themselves might not be wicked but are associated with the wicked, they are also recounted in a negative light. And there's a well-known saying, Oy l'rosha, oy l'shchena, woe unto he who is wicked, and woe unto the neighbor of one who is wicked. And the general explanation for that is that if you keep company with the wicked, so it has an influence on you as well. The Gemara continues, Tzadik me'atzmo, dechtiv zecher tzadik levrocha. The tzadik is remembered in a positive and a blessing sense. And this pasuk is in the singular. Zecher tzadik, tzadik is a singular. V'rosha mechavero, the idea of the rosha being associated with the evil of others as well. Dechtiv, the pasuk, when regarding the rosha, it says v'shem rishoim. Rishoim is in the plural. V'shem Rishoyim Yirkav, so that a Rosha is associated not only with his own deeds, but with the deeds of others. Omar Le Ravina, Lahumir Abonon, Tafimisader Agadito Kameh. Ravina turns to a scholar that used to be fluent in Agadic literature. And Ravina speaks. Now, notice the long marking over here. So, Ravina turns to this person who was Mesader Agadita. Mekameh means in front of Ravina there was this person who would recite Agadic passages in front of Ravina. So he had expert in that type of Torah literature known as Agadic literature. So Ravina asks him, Mino ha-milsa, di omer rabbonan, zecher tzadik livracha. What is the basis of that which it says, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha? So the Hahumir Rabbonan says back, Amar Lei Doksiv Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. What do you mean? What are you asking me about? What is that? It says that. So Ravina says, Midol Raisa Minolam. I'm asking you that this posuk, though it appears in Mishlei is from what we call the later writings, it's not the Chumash itself. I'm asking, where is there an allusion to Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the mention of a Tzadik is associated with blessing? Where do you see an allusion to that in the Torah itself? Midoraisim and Olan, and the Tosfos Rishonim says that there is nothing that is found that's not alluded to in the Torah itself. So if you say that there's this concept of Zecher Tzadik Livracha based on what you see in Mishlei, there must be a remez, an allusion to it in the Torah. So he answers, Dichtiv, Vashem Omar, Hamechasani Me'avrom Asher Ani Oiseh. You have a pasuk which is in the context of the Almighty's plan to destroy Sodom, and it says, Shall I cover up? And he mentions Avrom. Avrom was a tzaddik. Uksiv Avram Hoyo Ye Legoi Godol VeAtzum, and following that it says, and Avram will be a great nation. So that you see, upon the mention of a tzaddik, right next to that is a bracha, that of Avram becoming a great nation. Minoha milsa dem rabbanon shem rishoyim yirkav, and along the same lines, you see, from where do we know that the name of the wicked shall rot? Amarle, so the Ha'um Rabbanan answers, like we saw before, Doksiv Hashem Yerushalayim Yirkav, it is in the same Pasuk in Mishle. So what are you asking? From where do we know? We know it from its, from the fact that it says that. The same response of Ravina. Where do we see an allusion to this in the Torah? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayel Ad Sidom. So you see reference to Stom. Stom was a place of evil, of wickedness. And following the mention of stone, the Pasuk points out that they were a wicked and sinning people. Omar Revelozer, Tzadik Dor Bein Shnei Rishoyim V'Lolomad B'Maseyim. There's a case of a righteous person living amongst two wicked ones, and he did not learn the evil ways. And Rosh Hador Bein Shnei Tzadikim, there was a wicked person who dwelt amongst two righteous ones, V'Lolomad B'Maseyim, and it didn't rub off on him to learn their positive ways. And the Gemara explains, Tzadik Dor Bein Shnei Rishoyim V'Lolomad B'Maseyim, an example of a righteous person living amongst two wicked ones that didn't learn from them, that maintained his righteousness, that is Ovadia. That's a reference to the prophet Ovadia, who lived in the home of Ahav and his evil wife Izebel. When I see the name Izebel, I'm often reminded of the more modern name Isabel or Isabella, and there was an empress or queen Isabella who was the monarch at the time of the Spanish expulsion of the Jews that came to a head in 1492. So the name Izebel seems to have a certain connotation, as per the Gemara that we mentioned above, Shem Rishoyim Yirkav, and we said the Lo Maskinon B'Shmayu. That's a tangential note, though. We continue in the Gemara. Rosha Dor Bein Shnei Tzadikim, an example of a wicked one who lived amongst two pious ones, Velo Lomad B'Maseim, and didn't learn from their righteousness, Zeh Esav. That's a reference to Esav, the brother of Yaakov Avinu, and Esav was certainly not a positive figure, to put it mildly. These Gemaras we can, of course, just brush over, so to speak, or continue on, but that's not the proper approach to any line in the Gemara. Every line of the Gemara deserves thought and pondering things and how does it apply to me? How does this affect us? So certainly in the realm of sociology and education and chinuch, etc., these are very interesting points. The idea of having someone who is himself righteous and not being influenced by his immediate surroundings, and the opposite being the case as well, it certainly gives pause for parenting and what one can expect or what one cannot expect, and there is a certain amount of effort that people have to invest, but if they find that their efforts do not yield the desired fruits, one has to take into consideration that we as human beings are not in full control. There are other factors. Many of them are, if not all of them, are of a divine nature. So we as human beings have to invest efforts in the right direction. However, if the results don't pan out the way we think, one has to consider that there are other factors. And what I like to say is that one should not be led to despondency as a result of investing efforts and not seeing the returns that they expected. There is no better example than two of the most righteous, the greatest people that ever lived, Yitzchak and Rivka, who had as their son Esav, true in stark contrast to their other son, Yaakov Avinu. Let us continue with leaving you with the thought that we said that these statements of the Chazal require a great deal of of thought and pause to consider. The Omar Reb Elazar, continuing in the Gemara, there are 2 points that he makes right now. Mibirchosin shel tzadikim ata lomei klolo l'rishayim, umikilosin shel rishayim ata lomei brocha l'tzadikim. From the brocha of tzadikim, from the blessing of the righteous, in other words, as Rashi says, where Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses the righteous, in the same spot he will curse the wicked. And the opposite is true as well. When he is cursing the wicked, he also issues a brocha to the righteous. And the Gemara gives illustrations. Mibirchosim shel tzadikim ato lomei klolo l'rishayim, from the blessing given to the righteous, you learn the curse to the wicked, dichtiv. The Pasuk says, regarding Avram Avinu, ki yadativ l'man asher yitzava, etc. I know, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he will instruct his children and his descendants in the ways of righteousness. Uksiv basrei, vayomer Hashem, zaka stoim v'amoro ki rabo. And right following that, the Torah says that Hashem hears the cries of stoim and amoro, their cries of sin, of wickedness, and we know what befell Sodom and Amorah, their eventual destruction. From the curse of the wicked, we learn the blessing that Hashem gives to the righteous. The Anshei Sodom Royim V'Chatoim L'Hashem. The Pasuk describes the Anshei Sodom as being evil and sinners to the Almighty. Vashem Omar El Avram Achrei Pored Lo Meimo. And the Almighty says to Avram upon his departure from Lot, Lot who chose to split ways with Avram, and Lot went to Sodom. And at that point, Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses Avram. The Omar Reb Elazar Afilu Bishvil Tzadik Echod Oilom Nivra. If it were for no other reason than the birth of one righteous individual, that's enough justification for the creation of the world. And this is such an amazing statement. If one thinks about the world and humanity and I don't know how you would calculate the positive versus the negative, but there is an inordinate amount of evil in the world through the generations, all kinds of evil empires from time immemorial down to our very own times as we are listening together to this shiur. Nevertheless, Reb Elazar says that if it were not for anything more than one tzaddik, it all would have been worth it. All of this amazing creation for one tzaddik. Shenemar vayar lekim esaor ki toiv. And the Almighty noticed the light. This is a pasuk from creation, that it was tov. Ein toiv ela tzaddik. The word tov is a hint to the righteous. Shenemar imru tzaddik ki toiv. So you see in this pasuk, tzaddik together with tov, and the Almighty in the creation noticed that the tzaddik would be born, and for him it was worth maintaining the light of the world for that one tzaddik. And the pasuk is, you notice, is in the all in the singular. We continue in the Gemara. The Omar Reb Elazar kol meshakech dover mitalmudo, one who knowingly forgets, who dismisses from his mind Torah learning, Gorim Golus Lebanov. We have a diamond number one, because there is more on this shortly. The Reb Elazar maintains that this can cause exile. Shinemar Vatishkach Torah Selekecho Eshkach Bonecho Gamoni. If you forget my Torah, and I will forget your children. And that's a reference to their being cast away into exile. Rabbi Yavo Omar, another punishment for one who dismisses Torah learning from his mind. Moridin Oisoi Mi Gedulaso. He is dismissed from his position of greatness. He is demoted. Shinemar Ki Ato Hadas Moasto Vem Oscho Mikahein Li. Pasuk is saying that since you disdained das, you moasto, word mius is expression meaning disgusting, you disdained knowledge, Torah knowledge, so I will react the same way from your serving me, and a reference to demotion. Omer of Chiyo Bar Abba, Omer of Yochanan, we have a new marking, and on the side we have an explanation under the Nosei Mivneh heading, a Sidra Shel Meimro Shereb Chiyo Bar Abba. We have a series of comments made by Reb Chiyo Bar Abba Be'inyan Tzadikim and Chatoim in the context of the righteous and sins. A number of these comments will be Reb Chiyo Bar Abba quoting Reb Yochanan, and in you'll see also a comment made on him on his own. We continue then in the Gemara, Reb Chiyo Bar Abba and Reb Yochanan, Ein Tzadik Nifter Min Olam Ad Shenivro Tzadik Kamoso. A righteous person does not die, leave this world, until a replacement tzaddik is created. Shenemar v'zorah hashemesh uvo hashemesh. The pasuk says the sun shines and the sun sets. Remember the song sunrise sunset. Well, here it is, and it's in a pasuk, and we learn from here ad shelo kofsa shimshet shel eli, before the extinguishing of the sun, of the sun meaning the solar body, the sun of Eli, the shining of Eli. Eli was the Godol Hador, the greatest of his generation in the time of the Mishkan, which stood in Shiloh, and when before he died, before his light was extinguished, so Zorcho Shimsho Shel Shmuel Ramosi, the sun, the light of Shmuel HaRamosi Rossi, he was from a place called Ramah, but the famous prophet Samuel started to shine. In other words, before, we know from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel that Eli met young boy Shmuel, and after Shmuel was already on the scene, then Eli died. And that's what Rav Chiyo Bar Abba is teaching us, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu won't remove a tzaddik from the world until a replacement tzaddik is put into place. The Omer Rav Chiyo Bar Abba and Rav Yochanan, Roa Kodesh Baruch Hu She Tzaddikim U'otim. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that there would be few tzaddikim. Omad V'shosun B'chol Dor V'dor, and he thereby planted them in every generation. In other words, in there was a from the foresight of the Almighty, knowing that the collective number of tzaddikim through the generations would be few in number, so he didn't allow them to be all concentrated in one generation, but were scattered in each generation. Shenemar ki lashem mitzuke oretz vayoshes aleim tevel. The Gemara continues. Actually, before that, we take a look at the Rashi beforehand. Vayoshes aleim tevel, pizron b'chol adoros lios shosus v'kiyum v'yisod l'kayim tevel. The word shosus has to do with the foundation. Vayoshes aleim, he founded upon them the tevel, the world. The world was founded upon the mitzuke oretz. Mitzuke oretz, a reference to the tzaddikim. We continue. V'omar Rav Chiyo Bar Abba, omar Rav Yochanan, afilu b'shvil tzaddik echod ha'olam miskayim. This is a comment that is on the heels of that which we saw earlier, or similar to that which we saw earlier, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that for in the merit of one tzaddik the world would be created, but creation is only an initial stage. What about the maintenance? So this comment of Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba picks up on that and says the world's continuity is based on the presence of even one tzaddik. Again, an amazing idea. Every time I see this, it's one just shudders at the magnificence of this idea of the presence of one tzaddik is enough to maintain the world. As the pasuk says elsewhere, Lo machshevo isai machshevo sechem velo darchechem durachi. The Almighty proclaims that my calculations and my thoughts are not those of yours, so that even though in our mind one tzaddik would be seriously offset by the multitudes of wicked and evil that's in the world, you would think that would extinguish the the power of the tzaddik, says the Almighty, not so. One tzaddik is enough to counterbalance all of the evil in the world and enable the world to continue. And this concept, by the way, is reflected in other Gemaras. There is a Gemara that comes to mind where the Almighty sees the evil of the generation of the king Tzidkiyahu, who lived at the end of the first temple period. In fact, at that time, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But the Gemara says that the Almighty saw the evil of that time and wanted to destroy the world. But he then noticed Tzidkiyahu, who was a righteous individual, and decided to keep the world going. So that concept, as we said, is seen there, and you see it here stated explicitly. And where does Rabbi Yochanan know this from? Shenemar v'tzadik yesoid oilam. The righteous one is the basis of the world, the maintenance of the world. Rebchiyo didei omar. Now here you see Rebchiyo, and it's interesting how the Gemara doesn't quote his full name, Rebchiyo bar Abba, but it's Rebchiyo on didei, means on his own, not quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says another source, omar mehocha. Veraglei chasidov yishmor. The Gemara asks, this pasuk though has the word chasidov, the pious ones or the righteous ones in the plural, chasidov tuva mashma. How does this illustrate the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan that for one tzaddik the world is maintained when the word chasidov appears in the plural? Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok, so Rav Nachman explains, chasido ksiv. It's true that it's read in the plural, but the letters reflect the singular. So that v'raglei chasido yishmor, because of the righteousness of one person, so the world will be guarded. Yishmor is to be kept and maintained. V'omar Rebchiyo bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kevon shiyotsu rosh noisuf shalodom v'lo chata. If a person lived the majority of his life and did not sin, shuv eino chote, he will not sin any further. In other words, he's made it over the halfway mark in a sinless existence, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give him as a gift, so to speak, the ability to continue living without sin. Shinema raglei chasidov yishmor. There is much more to say on this topic. If I'm not mistaken, if you look in the Tosfos at the end of the first parak of Bava Basra, there is comments made on this, as well as the Tosfos Yeshonim over here raises a question about on this topic. But that, as I say, requires some further elaboration, and we're just giving you some references to this matter. But nevertheless, there is certainly an incentive here for one to try to lead the majority of his life without sin, and then he is given a sort of, and I emphasize, sort of guarantee that he won't sin for the balance of his life. The Bei Rabbi Shilu Omri, Kivon Shebo Liyodo Devar Avera Pam Rishonu Shneo Ve'eno Chote, a person who is enticed to sin once and a second time, and he is successful in overcoming that and resisting that, shuv eino chote. So he won't sin anymore. My assumption is on that particular point that was enticing him. Shenemar raglei chasidov yishmor. Omar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv. What is the meaning behind the pasuk im leleitzim hu yalitz ulanovim yitein chen? So the Gemara explains. Baal etame, a person who decides, he decides that he wants to sin, he wants to defile himself. Poischin loy, heaven opens the door, which means heaven, the Almighty does not interrupt, he doesn't block a person who wants to sin. You want to sin, the door is opened, go right ahead. Baal etahir, a person who wants to purify himself, who wants to do penitence. Now that's something that's hard to do, and it's not automatic. Messiah Oisai, he receives divine help for that. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, and here we have a source from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. We use a marking of a diamond here. Sidrash of Brises being Mitzvahs Vaveros. We have a series of Tanaic sources, and they continue till the upper part of the Lamed Tesemav, up to the end of the Perek, in effect, which deals with these matters. And the double underline highlights two sources from the Debay Rabbi Yishmoel, from the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmoel. So we just spoke about someone who wants to sin, so he's left on his own, so to speak. If he wants to do something positive, he wants to repent, there Shemayim will come to help him out. Before we go on with the Tana Rabbi Yishmoel, we ought to look at Rashi. Im leleitzim hu yolitz, im leleitzim hu ba lischaber. Leitzim are scoffers, they're jokers, people who whose life is a life of levity. If a person wants to connect up with them, hu yolitz. Lo yimneuhu velo yaazruhu. Shemayim lo yimneuhu, they won't prevent him. From heaven he won't be prevented, but velo yaazruhu, he won't be helped either. Something that you do on your own. Im lanovim hu baal ischaber, if he wants to attach himself to the meek of spirit, to the humble of spirit, yitain lo chein, mi shebiyado litain, he will be granted grace. In other words, that mi shebiyado litain means the Almighty, who has the ability of bestowing grace onto others, will help him to attain that grace, to be accepted by the pious ones, by the humble ones around him. And an illustration of these two ideas is found in this Tanur de Beir Yishmael, Moshal li Adam she'emoicher neft v'afar Simon. We are giving you an analogy of a person that that sells neft. Neft is a fuel that is very malodorous. It has a very bad smell to it. And afar Simon is a fragrance. Continuing at the top of Lamed Tesemet Aleph, Ba Limdot Neft, you have a customer that comes in and wants to purchase some of this foul-smelling fuel. Omer Lo, Medot Atol Atzmacha, the owner, the seller, the vendor, the Neft vendor will say, oh, you want to buy some Neft? Go measure it out for yourself. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to help you out to have the bad odor attached to me. Baal Limdot Afar Simon, customer comes in who wants to buy a Afar Simon, Omer Lo, the vendor will say, Hamtain li, hey, wait a minute, Ad She'emdot Imcha, I want to measure together with you, Kedeshin is Basim Anivato, so that both of us, I and you, gain the fragrance. Tono Debei Rabbi Shmuel, another teaching of that source of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, Avera Mitam Temes Liboy Shel Odom. Sin seals up the heart of a person, seals him up from wisdom. In other words, a person who's engaged in Avera thereby distance himself from absorbing wisdom. In other terms, a person who's engaged in sin will find it very difficult to sit and learn Torah. Shinemar velo sitamu bohem v'nitmesem bom. That's the pasuk. Al tikri v'nitmesem, which would mean don't read it as becoming defiled. Elo v'nitamtem. V'nitamtem means to become sealed up. Tonu rabbonan velo sitamu bohem v'nitmesem bom. Adam mitame atzmo. If a person defiles himself, again it means he exposes himself to sin. Me'at, if a little bit, metamino so harbe. So one thing leads to another and he becomes defiled a lot. And now Rashi is very, very precise here. The word metamin, if you were just to translate it, it means they defile him. But notice Rashi, second line from the top, metamino so harbe, manichin oiso letame harbe. From Shamayim, from heaven, they leave him on his own to become defiled. And of course, Rashi's explanation is based on that which we saw before on the bottom of Lamed Chesamid Beis, Im Leleitzim U'Yolitz Navim Mitechein Bo Letamei Poischin Lo. That heaven doesn't push you into sin. If a person decides to sin, so he's left to sin on his own. So if a person exposes himself to a little sin, he's left to continue more and more on his own. Again, Rashi is very, very careful, very precise in explaining it and not relying on simple translation. So we continue in the Gemara. If a person is milamato, he defiles himself in this world. So mitamen oso milamalo. So it's registered, so to speak, in heaven. Boilam hazeh, in this world, mitamen oso leolam haba. He is defiled with regard to the world to come as well. Now these concepts of lamalo and olam haba are concepts that are a bit. We'll have to relegate them to the realm of the mystical, requiring further explanation. We translated in our standard custom. Tonu Rabbanan, another source, Viskadishtem, Visem Kedoshim, and this source is the mirror image of the source we just read. Adam Mekadesh Atzmo, if a person sanctifies himself, Me'at, even a little bit, Mekachin Oisei Harbe. And by the way, Rashi quotes what we had earlier, Habo Letayer Mesayin Oso. Notice the contrast between this Rashi and the Rashi that we read before of Manichin Oiso. Here we see Messiah Oso. He is granted assistance, as we indicated before, that one who chooses the path of the righteous, the path of mitzvahs, he gets a divine assistance. We might add, as we said before, he needs divine assistance because the path of righteousness is paved with a great deal of challenges and stumbling along the way, so that in order to achieve the righteousness, you do need the divine assistance. And similarly, milamato, if here below a person decides to sanctify himself, mikachin oso milamalo, he is sanctified from above. Ba'olam hazeh, in this world, mikachin osoi lo'olam haba, he is sanctified in the world to come as well. As you can see, this concludes the third parak of Yuma. And before we actually conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.